Hello, and welcome to the Need to Know podcast series, your source for cyber resilience, brought to you in association with VMware and AMD. In this series, we invite leading cybersecurity specialists and experts to probe the key issues and share best practices for combating current and emerging cyber threats. I'm your host, Liz Green, European Advisory and Cyber Leader at Dell Technologies. In today's episode, we are joined by Sheltered Harbor, the U.S. non-for-profit that was established to help enhance the resilience of the financial services sector in the event of a catastrophic cyber attack. We will then discuss how the principles and learnings of the organization can be applied beyond finance into the wider digital world. I am thrilled to be joined today by Carlos Recalde, CEO of Sheltered Harbor. Carlos, thank you so much for joining us today. So great to have you here.
Thank you.
With the financial sector powered by hundreds of millions of daily data transactions that include incredibly sensitive data, it is arguably one of the industries most in need of solid data protection and recovery provisions. So, Carlos, can you tell us a bit about how and why Sheltered Harbor was founded?
Certainly. Sheltered Harbor is actually created as a result of a public-private exercise here in the U.S. What that means is on the public side, we had everybody in the U.S. government that cares about the financial services industry, which means every one of the 14 regulators, a lot of law enforcement, and so forth on the public side. On the private side, it was a cross-section of the industry, included small, medium, and large banks, brokers, credit unions, and so forth, as well as some of the critical service providers for the industry, clearinghouses and core service providers that do the core processing for thousands of the banks here in the U.S., as well as all of the associations that represent the rest of the industry. So this was a kind of an austere group that really could postulate a scenario that was the first time the industry looked at. What would happen if a financial institution got operationally wiped out by a cyber attack? And the model we had at the time was what had happened to Sony Entertainment. Sony Entertainment got so wiped out, it took them 27 days to start rebuilding servers before they were kind of getting back on their feet. When the U.S. financial industry started looking at that, they realized 27 days, a bank having that situation is going to create a serious problem, not just for that bank and for its customers, but for everybody those customers transact with. And the result was this exercise. From that exercise, after the industry stopped arguing about how it could never happen to us, because we're really good at resilience, and started thinking about, okay, but what if it did? The industry realized we don't have a good answer. And if we don't have a good answer, we're going to wind up with panic, which will affect many or all of us. This could be a truly systemic issue. And as a result, the industry did what it often does when it sees a problem that is truly cross-industry. It said, all right, we don't have the answer, but we need to have the answer, and it needs to be a common answer. It needs to be one that allows all of us to help whomever got stricken that way. So this concept of mutual aid was necessary. We also knew that none of us could do anything if we don't know who those customers were and what those balances were. And in this scenario we were postulating, we wouldn't. So it became critical that we understand some way of knowing, of having customers and balance information at least separated away from whatever caused this issue. Those are the only things we knew to start. Sheltered Harbor was created as a result, as a not-for-profit by the industry. All 34 financial institutions and associations and so forth that were in that exercise are founding members of Sheltered Harbor. I have a who's who of a board. It's great. It's interesting also when you have to get 34 financial institutions to agree on something and agree to move fast, but that's a different topic. What that gave us, though, was the gravitas of representing the industry. And it also gave us their subject matter experts. Almost instantaneously, as the Sheltered Harbor concept was founded, those organizations threw in some of their best and brightest minds and said, go solve this problem. We don't know what the problem is, but we know what we want. Our mission is very simple. Sheltered Harbor was founded with the mission of maintain public confidence in case a financial institution gets operationally wiped out by a cyber attack. Period. Done. End of mission statement. It's cool. Very clear mission. What does that mean? We had to figure out. How do we do that? We had to figure out. And we started with three different working groups. Each of them had about close to 100 subject matter experts in it from across that breadth of the industry. So we truly had a lot of good people working on the problem. You know, that's how we came up with the solution. And at a super high level, the first thing everybody was thinking about was, if we don't give those customers those balances, nobody on the planet could help. So we better have a way of making sure that every financial institution that's participating in Sheltered Harbor is going to have that set aside in a cyber resilient vault. Subsequently, we quickly learned that, okay, it's great that we have the data in the vault, but that does not maintain public confidence. Well, what does? And we narrowed it down, said, okay, there's two critical services that we need to make sure are available, and we need to make sure they're available within 24 hours or less. And that's number one, make sure customers can see their balances. Mrs. Jones has to know that we know who she is, and we know how much she had in her checking account, and in her savings account, and in her retirement account, and that, yes, we've had a significant issue, but don't worry, Mrs. Jones, we have a plan. You can see that you're going to be fine. And by the way, you already have, or you will soon have access to your funds. So access to balance information, followed very quickly thereafter by access to funds. All of this within 24 hours of when whatever it was that knocked out the bank happened. Okay, so we know what we need to do to maintain public confidence. We don't know how to do that yet. We did know if we saved the right data, we stand a chance. So number one, let's go vault that data aside. Number two, let's go figure out, how can we actually make those two services available? Something we now call resilience planning, followed by restoration platforms that make those services available. And then the last thing that Sheltered Harbor as a community did, because now we call that over almost 200 institutions that are members of Sheltered Harbor and continuing to elaborate this all out, the last thing we figured out was, okay, the restoration platform. The pieces of technology that are going to absolutely be necessary to stand up in a real hurry. And we say stand up because anything that was part of the production systems, we assume are done. Silicon dust, they don't exist. We need something independent of all of that to be ready to take data from a vault and make those services available. We call that the restoration platform. And the last little piece we figured out was, okay, well, how can we actually trust it? If we're all going to give mutual aid to this institution that really got, you know, knocked on its knees, we can put our hand out to them. How are we going to do that? Well, obviously, we want to help fund them for a few days. It's going to take them to recover. The assumption is their business continuity plans is going to help them recover. It's just going to take long. So the interim solution is this restoration platform and a resilience plan. That institution has to have a plan so that all their people know what they're doing. That's fundamentally what Sheltered Harbor is about. We're now in a mode of educate, promote, and lastly, certify. How do we trust that they got it right? We trust it because we have certifications. We have certifications for that data in that vault. We have certifications for that restoration platform. We have certifications for those resilience plans. And that tells us as an industry, that institution is ready. Okay, they get hit. None of us have any qualms about doing anything we can to help them stand. We've already heard from the U.S. regulators, who absolutely love this, by the way, that they've said if an institution has a plan, they are taking hands off and they just want to let that happen because the best for the economy, it's the best for those consumers, it's the best for public confidence. However, if there's no plan, they have no choice but to basically go and take those accounts. Hopefully they're in a vault already and do what unfortunately we've seen happen too often now, hand that over to another bank or cut checks from the FDIC or whomever.
Carlos, well, I'm so excited by everything you've said because it was really interesting to hear about the different components to the plan, how you guys came up with this idea, the fact that there's been so many subject matter expertise support from all these different large financial services institutions. So some of the brightest minds are looking at the problem. We've seen recently there have been several large-scale runs on banks and financial establishments, including the Silicon Valley Bank in the U.S. I guess, you know, how does Sheltered Harbor help the financial sector to prevent or recover from cyber-related bank runs? And any thoughts on, you know, are we going to see cyber-related bank runs in the future? What are your perspectives?
So Silicon Valley and such have really woken us all up to the real impact of runs on banks, and most importantly, how quickly they can happen. You know, it has us thinking, is 24 hours fast enough a response? Not that we have a better answer right now.
Yeah.
But maybe we better start thinking differently because that happened awful fast. We've known all along, social media changed response time for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start talking about runs on banks, boy, that really accentuates. If you don't have fast answers and you can't get back in line and talking to your customers quickly, we are all in trouble.
Sure.
So first part of our resilience plan is recover enough data that you can talk to your customers directly. So remember, at the point of incident, all data and systems are gone, the bank can only communicate in a broadcast mode.
Sure.
There's no two-way dialogue because we don't know who the customers are. So we want to recover that data really quickly and make sure we can contact them and they can contact us very quickly. So that's why the first priority is make sure that we know who they are and what their balances are.
Really helpful. Thank you so much for giving us that context. And I think it just really shows the importance and value of what Sheltered Harbor is trying to achieve when we start to see emerging technologies come in and potentially change expectations that consumers in the market have for response times or approaches. So I think that's really helpful. Changing gears a little bit, I know Sheltered Harbor is quite focused on financial services today. And, you know, we talked a little bit about how the spec had to change for those particular clients and that objective. But I think as you've seen, and you mentioned, all sectors are impacted. And it's not just financial services that's regulated. We have critical national infrastructure. We have healthcare. I guess, Carlos, do you think that the Sheltered Harbor concept, or is it expanding into the wider digital world to protect other sectors? What does that look like for both Sheltered Harbor and maybe some of the conversations you're having outside of financial services?
So there's multiple parts to that question, and I'll try and take them in pieces. The first one I want to put up front. Sheltered Harbor is a U.S. not-for-profit focused on the U.S. financial services market. That's what we were created for with that primary mission, and that has not changed. And our board certainly wants to see success on that mission. Now, we are certainly on path to success, but we're not at a point where we can declare victory yet.
Sure.
I need thousands of organizations actually building resilience plans to get there. But that said, your question you'd asked about the concepts, and 1,000,000%, those concepts positively apply and cross sector and geographic boundaries. No question, absolutely yes. Consequently, protections that are designed for financial services can be broadened for other sectors. At Sheltered Harbor, I'll give you a sense of what that means. Our very first focus was those two critical services, which is make sure you know who your customers are and what those balances are and make sure they get funds from those balances quickly. That's a great mission and a pretty good answer, unless you're an insurance company or you're a custodian or you're a payments processor. Payments processor doesn't have customers with balances. So what are they supposed to do? Sheltered Harbor is supposed to be an answer for the entire financial sector. Well, like anything else, when you see a really big problem, you figure out how to chunk it down and you answer pieces and you get growing out. That's been Sheltered Harbor's model. So our very first specification for data protection was very, very specific about exactly which data we want for deposit accounts, exactly which data we want for brokerage accounts and so forth. And that's part of a specification for our data vaulting, which is the basis on which Dell's product was built. They'll love this. They can go out until they start talking to their insurance company customers who say, yeah, but I don't have those kinds of accounts and I don't have that kind of data. And that's just, you're just an example. I'm not trying to single you out at all. But we've been hearing this for a while, predominantly actually from the insurance sector, who said, wow, we really like that. We want to use it. Our answer for years for many of the non-banking, non-brokerage, non-credit union customers was, well, join Sheltered Harbor, you'll have full access to all the specs, and you can extract out what you think is reasonable for your purposes. That was great for a few years, and then they started saying, well, wait, we want certification. And I'd look at major brand name organizations saying, yeah, we appreciate that, but we can't certify your implementation because our specs are very clear about the type of data we need. Didn't take very long. And again, ransomware hitting us in 2020. Because now people realize not only do I want to protect it, I want to have proof that it's protected. I want to be able to show my board and my stakeholders and even potentially my insurance company and my regulator that I'm doing this right. I want that certification. That forced us to think differently about this vaulting process. The vaulting process at this point is quite mature. And we have organizations that are using it both for critical account data as we defined it and other critical information as they've defined it. Go ahead. It makes sense. Just keep it isolated from what we care about. And the world now knows this because we don't make any secret of the characteristics that are necessary for that vault. But the process by which you get critical data, secure, private data, into that vault absolutely correctly and pull it out of that vault absolutely correctly and completely secure all along the way without anybody's prying eyes in the process. That vaulting process is what was being leveraged by custodians and insurance companies and so forth. I want this certified. So we rewrote the spec, a new spec. So we have our spec for our primary mission.
Okay.
And we now have a new spec that we call a data vaulting process spec and a data vaulting process certification. Basically says, look, if you're going to recover your own data, that's on you. You decide what you think is critical. You want proof that you're using an absolutely good process to get it into an isolated vault that is cyber resilient. You can get a certification using this spec. Literally anybody maintaining financial records, you're welcome to come on in, use the newer version of spec, determine your own data. You'll go through the same process of getting it audited by a third party that will allow us to confirm whether or not you've implemented it right and wind up with a certification. That is actually not as new, but it's relatively new because that was approved by our board last September. And we now have some major brand name organizations that are implementing it with intention of certification this year.
Well, that's really exciting, Carlos. And is that just in the U.S. for now and any plans to make it global, or is it global?
So it is not yet global, but we are talking to multiple countries about this. We've been talking to multiple countries about implementing Sheltered Harbor. Regulators around the globe love Sheltered Harbor. And I'm not trying to, this is not a sales pitch or anything else. It's just what's happened. You know, I talked to you earlier that I'm going to visit with the Bank of England next week. They were in love with the concept before they've even had anything like this.
Yeah.
The same thing is true when you go across Europe and Asia and so on. And the regulators have wanted it, but the private side hasn't adopted because it's a significant thing to take U.S. standards and remodify them. Well, the new spec is a lot more flexible. And so it will be the basis by which we go out globally. And our board 2 years ago approved us moving outside of the U.S. and going global. So yes, in financial services, we intend to be global. And it's a question of how quickly we can get the banks across the globe to fundamentally fund a local certification body.
Well, this is so exciting, Carlos. I have lots of clients, I think, will be very interested in this. So it's really great news. We can share that. And I could really have you on all day, but I know you're very busy. So just want to say thank you first and foremost for being on. I'm going to share a few key takeaways for me, just the discussion we've had today. Again, really, really insightful. So I think the first thing that is really clear from the work you're doing and Sheltered Harbor is doing is the importance of collaboration and partnership. It's really the only way we're going to keep up and stay ahead of cyber risk. So that's one thing that I think is really clear from talking to you today. The second is the importance of sharing information with competitors, peers. So I think this idea that Sheltered Harbor was founded by these large institutions, probably many of which competed with each other, and what you have been able to accomplish in the years working together is really remarkable. And we want to see more of that. So planning for these unforeseen risks, catastrophic cyber attacks, or even other disruptions is what helps improve how we handle them, communicate to our customers, shareholders, and the market to really maintain trust when and if systems fail. So really exciting to see the momentum. And I think that the third takeaway here is we need Sheltered Harbor approaches in other sectors. Now we have that spec. So exciting to see that adopted in areas like critical national infrastructure and healthcare. And hopefully we'll encourage more sharing of information, concepts, technologies, and approaches in these other fields. So you really are thought leaders in the space. It's been such a pleasure to have you on today. And to our listeners, really thank you for being here and joining. We hope you join us next time. And this series has been brought to you in association with VMware and AMD. Speak soon.